It doesn't matter in the long run. It's entertainment, and entertainment is for a moment. But thank God the Word of God is lasting. And hopefully the Lord will begin to teach us something tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 tonight. Never give the reference and then immediately go to prayer, because then everybody stops and doesn't know where they're going right in the middle. So I'll give you a moment to get there. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 this evening. And we're going to start something here this evening, and then we'll just keep going with it. That's what we normally do, right? We start. You got to start before you can finish. So tonight is another starting point in a series, and we'll see how the Lord leads us here. But let's go ahead and pray here tonight. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy and your many blessings. Lord, thank you for your word and the truth of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would bless it, bless the teaching of your word. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be the teacher and, Lord, guide in all things. And Lord, some important biblical truths that we're going to tackle here in these next weeks and really in months, Lord, and just to go through some things. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us and you wouldn't allow me to say anything wrong. You wouldn't allow me to mislead or do anything incorrect, but you'd allow me to speak with clarity. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought I heard a collective sigh when I said months, but wasn't sure about that, if you were paying attention or not. But we are going to start a series here. We did Kingdom of Heaven and Kingdom of God. We just took two Sunday evenings on that. And but that kind of led us into this, I believe, and I believe this is what the Lord wants me to teach. Now, this isn't something that I harp on all the time or something that really I have taught that often, but I do think it's important to go over and to as well be able to kind of revisit and just freshen up on some things in the Bible because of the importance of it, and that is dispensations. That is dispensations. Now, when you say that, a lot of people take that to mean a whole bunch of different things, and so we'll set some ground rules, and of course we're going to use the Bible as our guide. So this idea of dispensations and looking at the Bible times when God dealt with his people or God dealt with humanity, his creation, his creatures, when God dealt with them differently at different times, this, I believe, firmly is a Bible doctrine, but it is one that not everyone adheres to. It is one where some people say, "Oh, you can't find that in the scriptures, and everything is equal throughout the scriptures, and God has always dealt with mankind." Whether it's something, you just get a whole bunch of different groups that will look at things differently in the scriptures. And so, what do we want to do? We want to be Bible believers. And by Bible believers, I mean we want to take the Bible as it says, and we want to believe what the Bible says, and we want to put our emphasis on what the Bible says, and we don't want to try to get our ideas or, we just need to look at the Bible simply and simplify everything and just put it in what it says. And those two things don't go hand in hand. What it says is oftentimes not simple. And what it does say, sometimes the simplicity of what it does say speaks a lot. It speaks volumes of what the Word of God says. And so we're gonna look at this, and we're gonna go kind of at a pace where I want clarity. We can cover this in a whirlwind, and then leave some of you no more educated than when we started. And that's not the objective. The objective is not to just throw names and titles and things at you and go, "Yeah, and here's this," and then run away from it. We want to understand, because when we read the Word of God, if we're not careful, we understand how we got saved and we understand what God has done for us, and we preach and teach things about us, and then we read something else and say, "Well, that doesn't seem the same," because it's not the same. And we need to understand why it's not the same. We need to understand what God was doing when he was dealing with man, and how God orchestrated and set things up. This Bible, if you go into this Bible with a scoffer's heart and attitude that the Bible's wrong and that it's not a book by God and that man can correct it, then you'll find plenty of areas where you'll be deceived and believe that it's wrong. But if you go into the Word of God and say, God wrote this book, and God inspired this book, and God preserved this book, and this is the Word of God that we have, and that He has given to us, every word that He wants us to have, then we can go into this Bible and we can say, this book is right, even when I don't have it all figured out. And where it looks like a pretty easy, distinct, and easy to point out discrepancy, then I don't know why it's different. But it's not wrong. So that sounds like you're worshiping the Bible. No, we're worshiping the God that gave us this book. And I'll say it again, I'm really, really glad that God wrote a book smarter than I could read it. I'm glad that I'm not on the same level with the God that wrote this Bible so that we can read it through a few times and have it all figured out. No, this Bible is a wealth of knowledge that'll last us until we die. The smartest individuals I've ever met can be in this Word day in, day out, and still go, well, I don't know. There's some stuff I don't know. And so, but when we read the Word of God, there's some formats that we should study, and we're going to find that formats that we can use from the Word of God. I'm getting ahead of myself. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Now, this is a very clear verse for King James Bible users. If you're not using the King James Bible, and it's not near as clear what God desires of us. All right, so 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, let's read it. You read it silently as I read it out loud. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, so several things we can learn. What should a Christian do? A Christian should study. Study. That's what a Christian should do. So there's reading the Bible, and as you read the Bible, you will learn things. And as you continue to read the Bible, the Lord will open up things to you, and you will see things that you never saw before, and as you read, you will learn. But as you know, reading is not studying, and studying is not just reading. And so to study means every once in a while, you say, okay, Lord, you've been putting this thing on my heart, and you've been putting this topic, this idea on my heart. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get some very basic things. Maybe one of them is a dictionary. Maybe one of them is a concordance. And say, what's a concordance? Both of these you can do on a device if you want to. But what is a concordance? A concordance is where you can look up the words in the Bible. And you can see how many times they show up. And then you can read those passages where those other words show up, and you can learn what the Bible has to say about that word or about that topic or about that thing. And you can get a larger scope of what God has to say about a certain topic by just simply doing a word study in the Scriptures. Sometimes it might take you a while. Sometimes it might not take you that long. You just run the references and you look at the words and you say, oh, okay, I see how God uses that here, and how God uses that here, and how God uses that over here. And you learn. But the Bible says we are to study. Study. But new versions take the word study out. Why? Why would a new version want you to take the word study out so that you were just being diligent to show thyself approved unto God? What does that mean? Be diligent to show thyself approved unto God. That's what some say. Be diligent in how I live. Maybe it's my works. Be diligent in my prayer life. That would please the Lord. So I be diligent in my prayer life that I could be approved unto God. A workman, prayer takes work, but it doesn't say that. It says study. Study to show thyself approved. And that's what we should do as a Christian. We should study. Why should we study? Well, the Bible says to be approved unto God. To be approved unto God that needeth not to be ashamed. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The Bible says that we're supposed to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks it. Everyone that asks us, we're supposed to be ready to give an answer. So what does that mean? Well, that means that we should study. I mean, we should study some basics in the Bible. We should have some understanding about salvation and what it is. we should be able to defend our position on salvation. We should be able to defend our position on eternal security. We should be able to defend our position on baptism. We should be able to defend our position biblically because people are going to come around and ask us questions. And when they ask us questions, what should we do? We should be ready to give an answer. Now, I'm not saying you should be able to write like a doctrinal dissertation on the topics. I'm not saying you have to be a PhD in every doctrine of the Word of God, but we should have a basic understanding of what's going on. And if we don't have a basic understanding, what should we do? Study. Study. Why? Because, first of all, we should study the Bible to see if we were deceived. We should study the Bible to know we're right. All right, let's do a study on baptism, all right? So we run the references, we do a study on baptism. There's a lot of people that are taught wrong on baptism. And if they don't study the Word of God, they're not going to know. They're not going to know what the Bible actually says about baptism. And so we should study to be approved, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And how should we study? The Bible says, rightly dividing the Word of God. That's how we study. How do we study? Well, we notice where things are different. And we ask ourselves, why are they different? And we ask ourselves, what's going on if these things are different? And why is the Bible so drastically different in one place and not in another place? And why does God put it this way over here and not this way over here? That's what we should do. We need to study by rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now, this is against the world and its theology right now. But the Bible makes divisions. Divisions to the world are bad. We see two individuals and we make a division between those individuals. The world says, don't make a division. Everything is the same. No, I can look at one individual and say, this is a man. And then I can look at another individual and say, this is a woman. A division that God assigned. Now, sometimes we have trouble deciphering what's going on. I understand that. Sometimes you can be out in public and go, and it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. It should be easily discernible. Well, at least how should you carry yourself? You should carry yourself so that things are easily discerned about who you are and what you are. And those things where the world says, don't make a division. Now, preaching this 30 years ago would have sounded very elementary and insane. But we are in a very insane world. So now, unfortunately, I have to stand behind a pulpit. Not that I think less of you. But I need to stand here just to clarify. There is a man and a woman, and they are different. And God designed us different. And we don't have the time to get into the differences. Okay? But God has certainly done that, and God makes divisions. You can see it over and over and over and over and over again. From the very beginning of Genesis chapter number 1, what happens? God starts making divisions between things. And before you know it, there's divisions between light and darkness. There's divisions between land and water. There's divisions between water and water. There's divisions between light and darkness. I said that one. There's divisions between day and night. There's divisions between animals and plant life and human. God starts to make all these divisions and says these things are not the same. And so the way we learn is by making a division. The way we learn correctly is by rightly dividing and making the divisions where God makes a division. Turn to Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm 1, look in verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. All right, the man that walketh, stay away from sinners and the ungodly and the scornful, his delight is in the law of the Lord. So he has delight in the law of the Lord. And what does he do? He meditates in the law of the Lord. His delight. When you first get saved, you might not have known about or even cared about a Bible. You might not have had a Bible. Or you might have had one, but you didn't have any use for a Bible. And when you got saved, all of a sudden you realized, all right, this Bible is a pretty integral part of salvation. You got saved through the Bible. There was no other way you got saved. Now, maybe someone told you something, and it wasn't directly through an open Bible, but in order to get saved, they told you Scripture. If they didn't use the exact verses of Scripture, they gave you scriptural premises in order for you to accept Christ. And so it had to come from the Word of God. And when you first got saved, you didn't know what was going on, but you had at least a renewed interest in the Word of God and knew that it meant something more than you than the importance you had placed on it. All right, but look at 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. The Bible says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." When you first got saved, there should have been an interest, there should have been a desire in the milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. All right, now this topic that we're going to go through here in the Bible is not necessarily considered milk, but it is important. When you first get saved and you understand the importance of the Word of God, and hopefully someone tells you that you need to start reading the Word of God, because it is the lifeblood and it is the essence of all things in your Christian life. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't believe that. They don't place the emphasis on the Word of God where it needs to be. They place the emphasis on coming to church. I believe you should come to church. They place the emphasis on being a good person. I think you should be a good person. I think you should do good works that God has ordained you unto. But the most important thing in his Christian life is the Word of God. It is the Bible. And it is that you need it so that God can speak to you and so that you can understand. You have people walk out of churches going, I'm not sure I'm with what the preacher's saying. All right, you might not be sure, but you can find out. So how do you do that? Get in the Word of God. Dr. Ruckman used to say, don't take my word for it. Read the Bible and find out. Why? Men can lie to you. Men can stand in pulpits and they don't tell you the truth. And maybe they don't know the truth. Or maybe they do and they're still trying to deceive you. But we have a Bible. We can open up the Scriptures and say, I don't know about that. Why? Because of the authority of the Word of God. We can read it and we can know what the Bible says, but there should be a desire there. Look in Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter 20. And there's always a desire for the Word of God, but then people start to read it and find out that, oh, this study thing is more like work than it is fun time. And so what people do, and where we are as a nation now, is we don't want to be inconvenienced by anything. If we can't Google it and find the answer in like 5 seconds, then we're not interested in learning it. If I can't find a YouTube video that I can just watch for 15 minutes and understand the whole concept, I'm not interested in learning about it. The simplicity of the internet and devices and everything else has made us very, very, very lazy. How did it used to be? Well, you used to have to go find something to read. And then you had to spend time reading in order to learn. But now, what do people do? I mean, the number one search engine in the world is Google. The number two platform for search engines in the world is YouTube. Between those two things, people are just saying, I want the answer right now. And because you can get the answer right now, do you know what you don't do? You don't learn it. What is the capital of such and such? I don't know. I won't. I don't want to say anything because my phone will turn on. But You can talk to your device and then, I want this answer, and it'll talk back to you and tell you what the answer is, but you don't memorize it. Why? Because it's right here. The answer is accessible right here. And so our brains just kind of shut that off because we can always get that information anytime we want. And so it used to be that we had to work for information. I mean, I'm old enough to know that when I went to college and had to write papers, I had to get books and read those books so that then I can educate myself on the topic, and then I could talk about the topic, and when I would learn information, then I could talk about the book that I learned the information from. I kind of thought to myself, well, why am I rewriting what's already been written? But, you know, you're learning how to collect information and give credit to those that you got the information from. I understand the process, but you had to work for it. You had to work for it. And the Bible says, that we should study, And you get into, I want to learn about the Word. I want to learn the Word of God. Man, I want to go to a Bible-believing church where we can learn. And then you get in here and you start studying. Man, why is he turning to so much Scripture? Oh, my goodness. And why is he taking so long? And I don't really understand what he's talking about. And, I don't want to do the work. Can I just be in church and just enjoy God? And why do I have to go through all the work? Because the Bible says, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And the more you study, you start to realize the more effort and work that it takes to glean things out of the Word of God and have God Himself show you things, boy, the more it's worth it. The more it's worth it. You understand the principle with children. If you just hand your children stuff, what are they likely to do with it? Here it is. This came for free. I have it. My parents gave it to me. I misplaced it. I don't know where it is. I broke it. Whoops. Leave it over here. Leave it outside. It doesn't mean anything. But when they start working and they start earning some money and they realize a couple beads of sweat maybe had to run down their face in order to get those dollars. And then they buy something. Hey, don't touch it. I got to put in a safe place where no one's going to be able to do anything to it. I know right where it is. I'm going to take care. I'm going to clean it and make sure everything is in order. Why? Well, because it cost them something. And the energy and the effort. And that's why winning should mean something. Winning should mean something because you had to try harder than maybe the next guy in order to get the win. And it means something when you earn it and you go for it. When you get the promotion because you spent the time and you spent the energy and the effort to work hard and try to work harder than the next guy and meet the goals that you had to meet, and you get that promotion at the workplace, it feels good. It feels accomplishment. Thank God that I was able to do it. It's worth something. Acts chapter number 20. Sorry, Acts chapter 20, verse number 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That's pretty good. That's what I want to say. I want to commend you to God and I want to commend you to the word of his grace, the book, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What's the word of God able to do? Well, at the beginning, you're desiring the sincere milk of the word. So you get into the Word and you start to take just the milky, the easy parts, the parts that are easy to digest, the parts that are easy to understand, and you start to put those in your mind and you start to learn. And what starts to happen? Well, you build yourself up. You start to build yourself up, what? In the Lord and in His Word. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse number 11, the Bible says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That's me. And it's supposed to be together, a pastor and teacher. Here's what it says, verse 12. Why do you give apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, we're not there yet. But that's what we're, until then, all these things, perfecting the saints, work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ, until we get there. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Uh-oh, somebody's out there trying to give you wrong doctrine. Somebody's out there trying to pull the wool over your eyes so you don't know what the Word of God says and turn you in a different direction. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to grow up. Not to just stay children. Not to stay children and just understand some of the basic things of the Word of God. Why? Because children are easily swayed. Children are easily believe what you say. They have great faith, children do. And little children can be deceived. It's easy, and sometimes we think it's funny. We tell a child this, or we direct them in that, and we say, and we kind of laugh about it. No, just, you know, I'm just kidding. Don't do that thing, or don't, whatever it was that we said. But they're just gullible. They believe things easily. All right, and that's because as children, they don't have a way of discerning what you're saying is right or wrong, unless they've had that experience. But in general, you're teaching a child something and they don't have any way of discerning, okay, well, I guess that's true. Yeah, absolutely, I believe you. But not you and I. We have a way of discerning the truth between the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have a way to discern the truth of the Bible. If we're growing. But one of the things that the devil does is he doesn't want a person to get saved. We understand this, and he does all he can do, and he's done a masterful job at just giving everybody all these reasons to not accept Christ. He's just messed up religion, man has gotten a hold of it and just splintered it into like 40 million different things. And so, a lost man's looking out there and he's just, I'm supposed to find a religion. Okay, what am I looking at here? Right? And education has just told him that, there's a million religions and there's a million more other reasons to not be religious. And so, okay, well, I got some education and so I'm looking out here at all this stuff and then I look at all these other things and these all these other philosophies and the man is just, how do I discern all this truth? And so thank God that he's faithful, and someone that's actually looking for truth, God can lead and direct and take all that stuff away and give somebody the truth of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. But they're looking for truth, and then so the devil does a great job of keeping someone from coming to the truth of salvation. But if they do come to the truth of salvation, then the devil says, okay, all right, well, I can't get their soul, but what I can do is I can lead them astray from the truth of God's Word. They got saved, but now I don't want them to live for God. And if they do attempt to live for God, I want them to live for God in a way that's going to quite possibly damn somebody else and keep them from going to heaven. So, you can go out there and you can be working on somebody for months and months and sometimes years, people do, and finally someone gets saved. And as soon as they get saved, no one else had talked to them in the entire time. You were able to have freedom to witness to them. And as soon as they get saved, the devil sends somebody else along from some other cult, and they come along, and what do? They grab them up, and they say, oh, yeah, but now I need to get baptized in order to do this, and now you have to go through this other ritual, and you have to do this other thing. And if they're not careful, because they don't know anything, they, oh, okay, well, they believe in God, and they believe in Christ, and they get snatched up and thrown off to the side here, and now they believe you got to use these eight other things in order to be saved, and the truth is gone, and they don't have access to the Word of God, and all the things that happen is the devil wants to do that. The devil wants to do that. He wants to keep everyone babes in Christ. That's why the Word of God is not placed forth as an authority. Because the devil wants to keep people as babes, and if they can get pastors to not put the authority on the Word of God, then the people aren't going to put their authority in the Word of God. And then we can just have a social club. And we can all just enjoy ourselves and have a good time and go back out in the world and do whatever we want. But when we put our emphasis on the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God, then we should grow. We shouldn't stay children. We should grow in the Word of God and read the Word of God and grow thereby. And when someone comes along and says, oh, well, this is what I believe, there should be something in you that says, that doesn't sound right. I don't think so. Not according to the Scriptures. We should be able to know. Not that we have to study every belief out there, but if we are studying the Word of God, we should say, no, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right according to the Scriptures. That's not where we should be. Look in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Say, well, I don't really know if the Lord would, or if the devil would really do that. All right, well, you don't have to believe me. We'll read the Word of God. That's my greatest defense, is the Word of God. You don't have to like what I preach or like what I say, but if you're faced with the Word of God, then you have to say, oh, I don't like the messenger, but, well, there's the verse. I don't like how he said it with that attitude, but there's the verse, and I see it. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That's the Holy Spirit. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, that has to just be like Satan worship. There's not a whole bunch of people leaving churches to go worship Satan. There's not a whole bunch of people in sitting in pews of Christian churches that say, oh, you know what? I met this person and they told me I shouldn't be worshiping Christ. I should be worshiping the devil and I'm all in. No, you don't meet that very often. You don't meet that. It's a seducing spirit. It's a spirit that comes along and it tricks you. It seduces you. It draws you away. It lures you away. And it's doctrines of devils. Devils coming in and saying, no, we want to draw you away to this other thing and draw you away from the truth to this other place. And there's spirits behind it and there's devils behind it. Being drawn away from the truth of the Word of God. Say, that sounds over the top. This is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle. And the devil is after your soul, and after you got saved, he lost your soul. He can't have possession of it ever again. It's Christ's and the Holy Spirit's. But now what does he do? He wants to draw you away from the truth. And if he can draw you away from the truth and draw you away into these other things, then you get caught up and you get messed up in it, and then you're less effective. And before you know it, someone that's saved just like you are is telling somebody, we'll stick with the same example, is telling somebody, hey, you have to repent and be baptized in order for salvation. And now they're telling someone, because they're ignorant of the Scriptures and someone has drawn them away and seduced them to a falsehood, they're telling someone your faith has to be in Christ and baptism in order to be saved. And listen, if you're putting your faith in the water, then you're not putting your faith in Christ alone. And guess what? Not saved. Well, I believe in Christ, but I also have to do my good works in order to keep me saved. So now you're putting your faith in your good works to keep you saved. And that's not faith in Christ and the finished work that he did on the cross and being raised from the dead. And so it's a doctrine of devils. Look in 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter 2 verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And chapter 2 goes all the way through there. Every time you see they and there and them, and it's referring to those false teachers and those false prophets. And all the way down in verse number 22, it talks about the dogs and the sow that washed to her wallowing in the mire. It's men and women. Men and women, these teachers and these false teachers. Some of this stuff should be very elementary. You should never be deceived by a woman preacher. You know why? Because you should be able to say, wait a minute, women aren't supposed to be preachers. Why would I be deceived by a woman that's claiming to be a preacher when the Bible says she shouldn't be a preacher? That should be pretty easy. But it's not that easy. It's not that easy. Why? There's a seducing spirit behind it. And we need to be careful with all of that. Look in Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter 3. It's amazing that the biblical truths that you say that are really basic principles of the Scripture, and yet people say, oh, you shouldn't say that. What? You get confused sometimes as a Christian or as a preacher or as someone who's trying to teach someone the Bible or be able to disciple somebody in their reactions by some of the simple biblical truths of the Word of God. You start to preach on the family and you start to say things like God placed the man, the husband, as the head of the home, and you can almost feel in Bible-believing churches with good people, you can almost feel like a spirit of hesitation. Like, we shouldn't talk about this. Right? And that the wife is supposed to submit herself unto her own husband. And it gets worse. Like, oh man, I really wish they wouldn't talk about this. These are simple biblical principles. But what has happened? Well, these seducing spirits have come in. They've started to change things. And we start listening to the world and we get this mentality and say, well, I mean, there's some bad husbands out there. Yeah, no kidding. Well, so, I mean, how are we supposed to? Well, we're supposed to follow the Word of God is what we're supposed to do. And I hate to break it to you, but there's some bad women out there, too. And so we start to talk about biblical principles and people can get uncomfortable pretty quickly. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What's the very first thing that happens? The serpent, which is the devil, comes in, and what's he do? He starts to cast doubt on what God actually said. This is not the first time you've heard this. But the principle is still the same, to cast the doubt on what God hath said and what he did say and what he meant when he said it. Now, let me stop here for a moment because the idea that we're going to get to here, and I'm just kind of laying the groundwork for the importance of what we're doing, is when we talk about this idea of dispensations, and we're going to get into... See, the part of the reason why some people stand so strongly against dispensational teaching in the Bible is because of what people say wrongly about it. And they say, oh, well, you believe this. No, I don't. Oh, well, you believe this other thing. Uh-uh. I mean, trust me, I'm a graduate of Pensacola Bible Institute. I've had many people tell me what I believe because they heard that the man that started the school that I went to believed this thing, and so that's what I believe. And, you know, those of you also that went there in this very room, understand that you get labeled this because of him. And often it was something that he said or wrote or was in an idea of, hey, there's some crazy stuff that could be going on out there, but I'm not teaching this like 100% Bible doctrine. And this is just kind of a fringe thing that I wrote about. And this is just this one thing that I think is interesting because Dr. Ruckman thought a lot of things were interesting. And said, hey, maybe this could be this because of this and this other thing. And people go, that's crazy. It's a crazy Bible teacher. And then all of a sudden someone's telling me that I believe some crazy stuff that I never even knew Dr. Ruckman even said. I haven't read everything of Dr. Ruckman. And if I did, I couldn't remember everything Dr. Ruckman wrote. That you believe that? So some of it is... In dispensational teaching, some of it is what we don't even believe that people say they don't believe it because of this. But we don't have to be afraid of that. We just have to know what we believe according to the Scriptures. And let me also say this. I know I was saying about doctrines of devils and false prophets and teachers, and yea, hath God said, and the devil. I don't believe that every person and every preacher that doesn't believe in teaching biblical dispensation is of the devil. I believe they're wrong. But I don't believe they're of the devil. I mean, are we okay with that? Are we okay with standing in a place where we can say, I disagree with you here, but in preaching the gospel and in many other areas, we can walk agreed in these other areas, but in this one, man, you're fouling some things up. We should be able to be okay with that. And I know some people that they think I'm wrong. But we can agree on where we can agree and where we can agree. And we can walk together in those areas. I was 18 years under a pastor who didn't have any affiliation of any school or any place or anything. And so he learned most of his Bible and things from the same place that this church was founded on, Brother Modelish. And his teachings of the Word of God, which is heavily influenced by Dr. Ruckman and heavily influenced local church-wise also from some other areas. But he didn't have any affinity. So when he wanted someone to come and preach for my pastor, he didn't have a stigma of any place. So all kinds of preachers would come and preach for my pastor. And then my pastor would say, do you know where my associate went to school? And I'd be like, don't do that. If you want friends in the ministry, you don't have to do that. Just leave me out of it. And so all kinds of preachers would come in. And I'd sit at lunch with preachers, and we would talk about different things, and we wouldn't see eye to eye. My pastor would just be like, I'll let you handle all this. And I'm like, why are you getting me into this? And different things like that. But I can love them in the Lord, and I can root for them to see souls get saved and for them to do something for God. So I don't want you tonight to connect like this doctrine of devils, strongly with this idea of being against dispensational teaching. All right. But when we get into the idea of dispensational teaching, you're going to understand that it's the very framework and the very skeleton of what the Word of God was built on. So that when we start to read the Word of God and fully understand what God was doing and what God's intentions were with different things, then we're going to have a much better understanding of the Scriptures, and it's going to open up our eyes to certain parts of the Scriptures where we can say, okay, I can glean these things, but I don't have to place myself under every rule of it. And the Bible starts to make a lot more sense, and we start to understand where to put the Bible by rightly dividing. Instead of taking the book and saying, everything's in here, everything's exactly the same from Genesis 1:1 all the way, you know, to the index and the concordance. You know, you hear preachers say, I believe the Bible is the Word of God from cover to cover, from the index to the maps, you know, and all kinds of stuff that preachers say, right? And that's dumb to say. The maps aren't inspired, but whatever, right? Like, well, why would you say that? They say it for effect. They don't believe the maps are inspired either, but they're just trying to overemphasize what the Word of God. But when we start to learn the Word of God, and we start to know how the Word of God is laid out, it keeps us from a lot of trouble. It keeps us from a lot of error. It keeps us from having to get to a place where we go, huh, and say, what have you found in your experience? What I've found in my experience is that those that lump everything together in the Word of God and don't make any divisions of importance, they are not great scholars of the Word of God. Why? Because there's a whole bunch of places in the scriptures where they have to go, well, it means this thing. And you go, well, that's not what it really says. But you have to somehow make it spiritually apply to you and I in order for it to make sense if all of this Bible from cover to cover was written for you and I. And, well, that's pretty egotistical. Man, how lucky are we to have a Bible that was written for the Christian that just happens to be us? Well, that's convenient. And well, that works pretty well. And if we put the emphasis and we put all the emphasis on certain things, then we make certain things the emphasis. Does that make sense? I was talking with Brother Russell. I talked to him for quite a while on the phone. Yep. Well, I said, here's what I think the Lord has shown me in some years and some looking at different things and some other people's inputs, not like original thought or anything, but as I think somewhere along the line, because of the importance of the Gospels, that all of the emphasis of our lives became we them and we work them. We win them to Christ, we get them baptized, and then we put them to work. Doing what? Winning souls. And everything that we can do to get more people into the church so that we can win more souls. And bring them in and train them up so we can go out and win more souls. And winning souls is important. But it's not the most important thing. What's the most important thing of a Christian? I'll tell you what it is. Pleasing the Lord. You know what happens if we put pleasing the Lord as the priority of our Christian life? We'll win souls. But we'll please Him in all areas of our lives. And guess what happens when you make the emphasis of the local church? And because the emphasis is on winning souls, we've made the church building, the local church, we've made it a place for sinners instead of for the saints. That means, well, we're bringing in everybody and we want everybody in here. And man, if we teach doctrine, it's going to confuse people and people aren't going to stick around and they're not going to stay because doctrine divides. And we just want to see people get saved and thank God for it. But the local church, as you can, it's so easy to see in the book of Acts, the local church, the local assembly of believers was for the believers. Say, well, does that mean the church can't be for sinners? No. We welcome sinners in. And we as Christians should say, come hear the gospel. And then once they get saved, we should say, we want you to be with us and to serve Christ and to please the Lord, but it's for the saints. And so what should we do? We should grow thereby in the Word of God and please the Lord. Some churches say, well, we should win souls, but what's the most important thing is doctrine. And we're just going to go over doctrine and doctrine and doctrine and doctrine and doctrine and doctrine. And then what happens? Well, they get so hung up on doctrine and every slight division that they can't get along with anybody. And they won't go out and win souls because they're too much studying about the prophecy to understand, you know, how many spots are going to be on one of the horses in the book of Revelation, in the tribulation. And so what do? We put things in its emphasis. If we're pleasing the Lord, then we're going to live righteously. If we're pleasing the Lord, we're going to witness because people are dying and going to hell. If we're trying to please the Lord, then we're going to get into the Word of God and we're going to rightly divide and say, this is the Word that He has for us and we want to learn and we want to grow by the Word of God. And so that's what we're attempting to do. We're attempting to lay down some things of understanding and teaching to say, this is how we should go about looking at the Word of God. And this is how we should go about when we're reading the Word of God. not always figuring out what in this passage can I glean and spiritualize, but understand who is this written to, and why did God write it, and what's God's plan, and what has he done in the past, and emphasis has he placed in the past, that what emphasis is he going to place in the future, and where should I be, and what should I understand, and what should I know, and what should I see from this to be worried about, and not to be worried about? What should you be worried about? The judgment seat of Christ. What should you not be worried about? The tribulation and the Antichrist. That's what you should not be worried about. What should I be worried about? You should be worried about serving God and walking through the doors when the doors are open, not being so concerned about the Sabbath, Saturday. Why? The emphasis on the Word of God and knowing where we should be as Christians. So we're going to stop there tonight, and we're going to continue to go on and kind of lay some more groundwork and lay some foundations so that once we start to build upon this, then we have a much better understanding. Let's go ahead and pray tonight. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your book and your word. And Lord, I pray you'd bless this series here, Lord, these lessons, that they would be profitable and those that come would be learning. And maybe it's just review for some that have certainly been over this in the past, but Lord, that there would be something new to glean and something that you, some more meat that you would put on the bones, and Lord, some better understanding. And Lord, I pray you'd use me to do it through the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. Lord, bless now as we go about this week and as we go about trying to serve you. Lord, keep us safe, we ask, and your hand of safety upon us and boldness as you've called us to do certain things. Lord, help us to do that. And Lord, bless now tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.